Good morning, Sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about taking inspired action, raising your vibration, and creating the life that you want after a toxic relationship. So today, I thought we would talk about being fearless. I'm going to tell you a quick story. So I dated this guy in college. No, I lie. It was not in college. It was after college. It was when I had my first child after I got divorced. I was a single mom. And this guy, I didn't really date him. Okay, I had a date with him. It was a blind date. My friend worked at a nursing home, and this person was a, what are they called? Nurse practitioner. And she said, this guy is great. He's so much fun. I just love him, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, cool. Whatever. I was willing to meet a new fun person. So I went on this date with this person, with her. It was a double date with her husband and herself and me and this person. Well, the first time I spoke to him on the phone, I then called her and I said, yeah, I talked to him. He sounds great, but you know, he's gay, right? She said, no, he's just the gayest straight person I ever met. I said, okay. So then we got together and we went on the date. We went dancing. We had a lot of fun. We had drinks, you know, all the stuff. I noticed a couple of things. Number one, I had a great time. He was wonderful. So much fun. Number two, he was aggressive in certain ways verbally. When it came to sort of, I want to say intimacy, he was aggressive. Nothing happened because he was gay, but we'll get to that later. You know, I realized I was not, and I knew already, I was not attracted to him in that way. So we just became really good friends. Well, over the course of the next couple of years, you know, he would come up and hang out. We'd watch movies. We did ice cream, all the things that people do. And he would spend the weekend with me. And then one evening he called me and he said, I did something horrible. I feel sick about it. And he wouldn't tell me what it was, but I thought, okay. And I went through the whole process of telling him, you know, he was an amazing person. Everybody loved him, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure it wasn't that bad. As long as he didn't kill anybody, I'm sure it was fine. Whatever. I guess about 2 months after that, he called me again and he said, I have to tell you something. It's really serious. And I said, okay. He goes, you're not going to believe this. I said, okay, what is it? Tell me. And he said, I'm gay. And I was like, oh, okay. I know. I still love you. It's okay. And he was like, what do you mean? You know, I thought we went on a date. I said, yeah, but you know, I knew. And here's the thing. In this case, he didn't know because he was forcing himself not to know, because he knew in his soul and his heart who he was, but he was growing up in this tiny little town. And this was the late 90s that he came out, you know, and he was, oh no, the early 2000s, but he had grown up in this small town where it was just absolutely forbidden. You know, if anybody was gay, they would just attack these people. And it was terrible, horrible, horrible stuff. So it was kind of a backwoods Bible Belt kind of situation. And for him to be able to finally come out, it took this great courage. And of course, I was the first person he came out to. So he found, you know, someone who he could trust that would hear him and not judge him and so on and so forth. And that gave him the courage to eventually, you know, fully come out, which was what he was trying to do when he called me the first time and let me know that. So with all of that being said, this person spent a large percentage of his life, morning, Stacy, Ella, Soprano, Michelle. This person spent a large portion of his life feeling like he just was never good enough, like he was scared of even looking inside himself enough to know who himself was. Does that make sense to you? And that was really unfair to him, and that was a difficult situation. Now, here's another story for you, real quick. So when I was in college, my freshman year, I knew that I didn't want to go back home over the summer for various reasons, mostly the toxic parent situation. So I had a couple choices. I could just do it anyway, or I could get a job and try to pay for my own apartment and live on my own for the first time ever officially, because, you know, during the year I'd lived in the dorms. And you know what I did? I overcame the fear and I went and got the apartment, and the rest is history. I was broke as a joke and I struggled and got through it. But it was, I felt at the time, the only choice I could make. leaving my ex-husband, the same thing. I was scared to death. I had a new kid. I had to figure out a way to get past the fear of, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a single mom. How am I going to do it all by myself, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing. So I guess before I morning, butterfly mama, Angela, Edel, Nubia, good morning, good morning. What's for tea in the house? So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to share some tips with you on how to overcome the fear and become as fearless as you want to be in your life and hopefully help you move forward that way. Now, while we're here in the chat, tell me right now, and I'll come back and read this as we go, what are your feelings about fear? How often have, tell me one time that you overcame fear and how you did it, all right? Okay, now, wait, I wanted to, oh, one of my favorite quotes is from Frankenstein, of all things, and it says, I am fearless, therefore I am powerful. Or I am fearless and therefore powerful, something like that. And it's just really stuck with me. Because let me just say this too, fearless, I think I mentioned this last week, fearless is not necessarily really the lack of fear technically, for me anyway. I believe it's about being scared and doing it anyway sometimes. All right, so we're gonna talk about it. So in case you're new around here, what we do is we go through about 15 minutes worth of content, and then I'll stick around and hang out with you, and we'll talk. You'll tell me your thoughts and feelings, and I'll answer your questions, and we'll go from there. All right? So today, don't let fear rule your life is the topic. And most anyone who has been in a toxic relationship could probably tell you that, in fact, they have at some point been crippled by fear, right? I know I have. I know my friend was, and I think his toxic relationship was mostly with the town and maybe his parents a little bit, but another story. We fear the narcissist and their moods. We fear what will happen if we stay. We fear what will happen if we go. We fear how leaving and staying might affect our kids, our money, our whole world, right? Whatever it is. And a lot of times we live in fear, and fear becomes the basis for every choice that we make. And I think a lot of us here can really relate to that, right? We do the thing that seems the least scary, even when it's not the best thing, right? I think I can relate anyway. What it comes down to, though, is fear is the enemy of achieving, getting what you want in your life. It holds us back in so many different ways. In prehistoric times, for example, the fear and adrenaline was necessary, because if we didn't have those, you know, rushes of adrenaline, we wouldn't be able to run that fast or climb that tree or whatever when some bad stuff is about to happen, right? But in most modern scenarios, fear has evolved up to a point, as in we rarely needed to save our lives. I mean, there are some occasions, of course, but rarely. But today fear becomes a reason that we don't move forward in our lives. It's a reason that we stay stuck. It's a reason we don't leave a toxic person who's abusing us. It's a reason we are held back from our progress in general, right? The fact is that most of us have allowed this emotion to keep us from trying something new, taking a risk, taking an opportunity, leaving a toxic person, that kind of stuff. And so what we're going to do really quickly is go through a few different ways that you can kind of push past the fear and not let it rule yourself and your life and tell you who you are anymore. Because turns out being fearless is very helpful for going forward and evolving after a toxic relationship. All right. So the first tip is know your purpose, right? So having your goals in place, having a roadmap of what you want to do, sounds like a really organized person's game. And since I am not organized by nature, that was something that I had to really think about. However, what I have learned is that having goals, whether you write them down in your bullet journal, which is what I do, or you write them on a board on your wall, or whatever it is for you. Sometimes I do that too, vision boards, stuff like that. But it helps you because you will have a roadmap. Okay, this is step one, step two, step three. This is where I want to go. What if you don't know the steps? Well, then you put step 10 over there, and then you work to fill in the steps in the meantime. We'll get to that. But it's so much easier to push past or get through the insecurity stuff when you know your destination, you know where you're going, you know what your goal is, right? So if you take the time to write down those goals and figure out what your purpose in life is, or your purpose for this moment is. So if one of your goals is to go back to the gym and start working out again, you're scared because you, okay, I'll tell you, I'm scared because I don't want to go in there and look all, you know, different next to all the people, right? Well, if I was going to go back to the gym, which I have a treadmill, I'm okay. But if I was going to, I would need to overcome the fears of that. And if I took the time and I was writing down my goals and I was saying to myself, well, maybe that'll motivate me. Maybe it'll keep me going. And maybe those people aren't really there to look at me, but they're there to work out just like me, you know, that kind of stuff. So I guess the point is, if I were trying to go to the gym, then knowing what I wanted, which would be a healthier, more fit body, and maybe visualizing that is going to be a strong motivator for going to the gym, right? All right. Step two, take baby steps. We've talked about it a lot. Or point two, I guess I should say, technique two. Because how many of us are like, oh, it's all or nothing. I'm either doing this thing or I'm not doing this thing, right? We often think that we really have to, you know, hit things in a big way. We need to get it done, all or nothing. You know, there's no, you know, do or do not, there's no try. Well, I'm here to tell you there is a little bit of try sometimes, okay? And what I'm saying is, if you are willing to take tiny little steps, tiny baby steps, one step at a time, one small thing toward reaching your goal, you're going to find you have the more confidence to keep going. It could be, you know, otherwise, a lot of times we sit there and we're going, okay, well, I know what I want to do. I'm scared to death to do it. So I'm just going to sit here and think about it some more. But if we go, I'm going to take just one step. So let's say you want to go back to school so that you can get a degree in some new field and you don't know how to do that. And you're scared of all the time and work it's going to take. And maybe you're just going to sit around and dream about it for another few years. Or you could get on the computer today after this session and you could look up what's the best program that you can take that's in your area or online in that area, you know, to get that degree. And you could do your research. You could find out what it is that, you know, you need, what steps you need to take, how you can get funding if you don't already have it, you know, that kind of stuff. One tiny step each day or each week toward your goal is going to help you overcome the fear, because it never is so scary. Not, you know, it's not quite so scary to go, well, I'm just going to do my research on this, which school I'm going to go to so I can think about it, or so I can figure out funding or whatever the next step is. So a tiny step, much less scary than a giant step, you know? So instead of like moving out and jumping into a new house and starting all over again, well, maybe instead of jumping into a new house, you start looking at apartments online and you start looking for one that will hold you and your kids if you have them, or whatever, if you happen to be trying to leave a narcissist or whatever. All right. My point is, baby steps do the trick. Next up, challenge your fear. So we don't challenge fear often enough. Most people live in, like I said, they live in their own fear. But this is something that I think is a little bit controversial for a couple of reasons, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because for number one, I think when we're talking about living in fear, a lot of us want to go, well, the law of attraction tells me that if I stay scared of it, I'm going to have more of that in my life. And there's some truth to that. However, you can't just always blow it out of the water and just be like, you know what? I'm just going to feel okay about this, even though there are some risks or whatever that I'm taking. Sometimes you need to talk yourself into it. You can't just flush your head and move forward. We're overthinkers, aren't we? A little bit. Okay. So what you can do is you can challenge the fear. You can go through in your head the worst case scenario of that thing. So let's use that gym example for an example again. What's the worst thing that would happen if I go to the gym, and how likely is it that it will happen? So if I go to the gym and I am on the treadmill doing my thing, sweating, looking all gross, what is the worst thing that could happen? Well, let's see. A bunch of my YouTube people might walk in. No, that wouldn't be that bad. You guys would be like, oh, girl. All right, let's see what else. The worst thing that could happen maybe is that there's a news crew in there and they're recording me secretly, unbeknownst to me, sweating and grunting, getting through it. And they put it on the news and they talk about me in mean ways. Or somebody there might tease me or do something, you know, make me feel bad about myself. How likely is it that that will happen? Highly unlikely. All right. Because most adults don't treat other people that way. And because I wouldn't be there in order to you know, socialize or impress anyone. I would probably put my earbuds in and do my thing and not worry about it, right? But that probably is the worst thing that could happen. You know, I guess the building could fall down around me, but that's really not a thing. Would it be the end of the world if that thing actually occurred? No, it wouldn't. It would suck. I would feel a little weird about it and uncomfortable, but the world wouldn't end. I would survive. It would be okay. I would get through it. So I guess the point is ask yourself those questions. What's the worst thing that can happen if you try this thing you want to do? How likely is it that it will happen? Would it be the end of the world if it happened? And do you think you'd survive it? And I think you know, I can both say most likely, you know, it won't be the end of the world and you will survive it, right? Okay. Next point is talk it out. So just like we're talking about here, sometimes, you know, when you talk to someone who has done what you want to do, that can help. Or you talk to someone who is just a really great supporter of you or someone who's willing to kind of walk through the possibilities with you, that can help. A friend, a coach, a counselor, a therapist, a support group. You can get all of our free support groups at queenbeing.com/group-support or queenbeing.com/span. It's a great motivator to be encouraged, to be supported, to step, you know, have someone sort of in your proverbial corner when you step out of your comfort zone. Speaking of which, that's going to be really important as you go forward. But you have to realize that you don't have to face everything on your own. And you can recruit inspiration from the people around you if you need to. Okay. So it's an ongoing process, but taking the time to connect with people, taking the time to get to know people, taking the time to find someone who's been through what you've been through or who wants to do what you're doing, someone who can support you on any level is helpful. Sometimes it's just one of your very best friends or a neighbor who also wants to start walking or going to the gym. I keep using that stupid example, but whatever it is, all right? Okay, so the next thing is reward yourself. Because if you promise yourself, hey, when I get to this goal, when I meet this goal, I get my butt to the gym, I you know, get my first apartment without this person or whatever it is, when I come out of the closet, whatever it is for you, promise yourself a reward and deliver when you succeed. Whether that's, if I go to the gym, I'm allowed to stop at Starbucks and get a coffee on the way home, or it's, if I come out, I'm allowed to go buy myself a new outfit, or it's, if I get myself an apartment, I don't have to call any crazy people for the whole week, or whatever it is for you. And what I'm talking about there is the family. But anyway, my point is, give yourself something small, some kind of reward that is worth it to you when you make the goal. I mean, I would like to tell you that going to the gym is its own reward because you feel all this endorphins and you feel really, really good and all that stuff when you're done. But you and I both know that's not enough, right? Maybe we deserve a Starbucks once in a while. And if you get a non-fat latte, it's not that bad. All right. Anyway, you can even set milestones and you can give yourself a treat, like I said, for each thing you do. And then have a big reward at the end if it's a longer-term goal. You know, so looking at moving into your first apartment, maybe the big reward is that you get to buy a new bed, or you get to, if you can't afford a new bed, maybe buy a new pillow. You know what I'm saying? Some small thing that's a comfort to you or that you just really want, give yourself that. And I understand budgets are a concern, and that's why I was, you know, that's why maybe you start smaller and you work your way up to the bigger stuff. So just know that reward can be a very powerful motivator for success, and that you do have something if you choose to create this. You will then have something to look forward to, and that can help you push past the fear as well. So if you give yourself, you know, some time to try these suggestions, it will help you as you're moving forward. I have done many other videos with other suggestions on this topic. I'll try to make a playlist of those for you and include them in the description below when I repost this video. But in the meantime, I would love to hear your thoughts on being fearless and your questions, concerns, comments, things like that. So I'm jumping in the chat right now. Let's do this, shall we? But first, coffee. Okay. Hey. All right. We have all of our people in the house today. Angela says she is really struggling to get going today. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I hope this is a little bit motivational for you. What are you struggling with? Talk to me. Hey, E-Rock, welcome back. Butterfly Mama, Bonnie, what's for tea? E-Rock says, I am being targeted. I walked back into my building, old lady neighbor. I used to go in her apartment, help her with her things. She pretended to love me and my dog. I was trying to get in. She got in the way of the door. She hunched down and was tapping the glass at my dog's face level, and she is missing one eye and a little skittish. It was like I had no choice but to make eye contact with her because she was literally an inch away from my face as I was buzzing myself in. I couldn't help but have a look of disgust, and I couldn't act like I was okay with it, but I didn't react like I was on the inside and I would have in the past. That is great news. That is great news. Hey, Sue Boyce, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate you. E-Rock says, so every single day I feel this sense of dread because this old lady lives in the first apartment when you walk into the building. No alternative exists, and I'm sure it got narcissistic supply. Nobody cares. Seriously, nobody. Not law enforcement, not the landlord, not anything. She's just allowed to break and destroy people. I'm disgusted and mad at myself for even talking about this. That's too long, and you're not going to see the string of messages I just sent. Tried talking to my therapist about it. Anyway, I'm proud of everyone who's surviving and thriving. Have a great day. I'm still here. I'm just too exhausted. Okay. So, E-Rock, let me say this. First of all, I caught your messages. What's up? Secondly, though, seriously, she sounds like a horrible neighbor. This is what I would do if I were you. I would quite literally, you know, buzz yourself in if you need to, do whatever you need to do. I mean, it's weird. Her behavior is weird and not natural or normal. My guess is she's very lonely. If I were you, I would simply just ignore her. You did a good job by gray rocking, even though you had the look of disgust on your face. Who could blame you? You did a good job by gray rocking her today. So just keep doing that. And don't feel the need to deal with her on a daily basis. Gray rock is a huge, because of the supply factor, gray rock is really your best bet. Because what will happen is, if every time you come through, you don't give her any reaction at all. I mean, you can be polite if you want. You can say hello. But I wouldn't go that far, even unless you think it'll keep the peace a little better. You're totally within your right to, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really busy, I don't have time, or just go through. You don't owe her anything. She's not your mother. She's not your, you know, relative. She's doesn't have any control over who you are. As long as you're doing whatever you need to do by paying your rent, I'm sure there's nothing that she can do to you either. So stay strong. You did the right thing. You know, as far as looking her in the eye goes, I mean, I'm guessing she was standing at the door that you were walking through, but otherwise you could very easily ignore her if she's looking like through her apartment window or something. Just ignore her. It's weird that she was tapping the glass at your dog. but, you know, I would say do your best to keep ignoring her and don't show her your feelings or emotions. And I think she'll get bored and try to mess with somebody else. I hope that's a little bit helpful. Let me know your thoughts. Caden says, I did summer school for most of my years at uni. It made some classes easier and kept me in Colorado away from my folks. That's great. Mo Cowboy says, thank you for sharing that story, Angie. Being labeled an abomination is reality for some societal shaming. And that is the truth. And I wasn't even really, I was just thinking about how brave he was to finally come out when he grew up like that. But you're right. That is a valid point, societal shaming. And, you know, I see our future generations, those children, you know, my children's ages and a little older. Hold on one second. They are the kids that are those generations. I think they're called, I'm not going to label them, but let's say millennials and beyond, right? Because my kids tell me there's like Zoomers, and which is apparently Gen Z, and there's Gen, I don't know, but I know I'm Gen X. I know that. And I know the boomers came before me. Anyway, it seems like each generation becomes more progressive. Most people in Gen X, I can't say most people. I would like to say the majority of people in Gen X might be more understanding than the people who are in the boomer category. But again, we have people, you know, throughout history. I mean, it is what it is. You're born however you're born. You are who you are. And, but I can say that I do have a little bit of hope for the future, because right now I have my kids going to school in a really small town where we moved to a, we didn't move, but we got a second location so the kids could go to a different school. And they get a little more individual attention here. But I was very worried because my daughter is, you know, has come out as lesbian. She's only 12. She's not sure, but she's said that. And I'm not trying to put her business out here. But this has happened. And so I was very concerned because she's very secure in herself. She knows who she is and she's not scared of being herself. But I was worried that coming here, she would be shamed, and that scared me. So, but I was very grateful to find out that all of the kids are very open and accepting, and so many kids have come out in different ways at this school. I mean, there's the whole gamut, and I've had to learn some new terms because of these kids. So I think it's actually, I think what's happening is our society is maturing and is growing up a lot, and it's kind of letting the kids and the people, you know, acceptance is coming. I think entire acceptance is coming, and I think that our future generations, I mean, my generation, I know plenty of people who are still not over the hump yet, but it's coming, and I think that's a beautiful thing. Because why should we waste our energy? Anyway, I'm off topic. Moving on. Okay. Thank you, Mo Cowboy. I appreciate you. Okay. L, hello, hello. Let's see. Shred Squad in the house jumped out of an airplane, and that was the first time I ever flew. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Do it afraid, Linda says. I did. Yeah. I'll tell you, Shred Squad, I have had a lot of people come through and tell me they, you know, after a toxic relationship, a lot of times we kind of feel real stuck because our dopamine stuff's messed up, our adrenaline isn't working right. So we need to do something different. And a lot of people do enjoy skydiving. One of my very dear friends is a skydiver. I always find that I've seen some videos of it and whatnot. It's pretty cool. Bonnie says, I broke contact and I called my mom to see if she's okay. Bad idea because she said she won't talk to me anymore unless I make up with my narcissist slash abusive sister. Bonnie, I'm really sorry to hear that. I understand why you made the call, but you probably knew that she would play that game with you based on your previous interactions. So maybe try not to feel too sad about it. Try not to beat yourself up too much about it and try to focus on what you can control here and not what you can't. Are you okay? Are you feeling really sad? Let me know. Caden says to Mo Cowboy, I feel internalized shame because my folks say medical transitioning or being trans isn't normal, but I still convince them to pay for my top surgery, so I should be grateful. Well, that's true. I mean, it's true that having them pay for your surgery is nice, but it surprises me that they would do that and still tell you it wasn't normal, which, I mean, what's normal anyway? I mean, what's normal? But I'm glad that they did. I mean, I feel like this, Caden, I feel like they must at least understand on some level if they're willing to pay for the top surgery. I don't know. Okay. What's for T says, I just remember the scripture that begins, do not be anxious over anything. Not trying to give a sermon here, but this is helpful for me. I respect that and appreciate it. And that is a great value. You know, that's a valuable thing. If it comforts you, you should do that. Oh, I forgot to do the cards. Let's do the cards really fast, and then we'll come back and finish our discussion. Speaking of things that comfort us. All right, really quick. It's time to read the cards. But I'm pumped. Okay. So we have the dialectical behavior therapy skills deck. Get out your pen or your pencil and your paper because it is homework time, y'all. And today we are doing number 32, which is an emotional regulation skill. And it says, observe yourself without judging yourself. Do your best to observe your emotions without judging them or judging yourself and others. Remember, it's okay to make changes in your life, and that doesn't mean you're bad or defective. It just means you want to be healthier. Acceptance and change, not acceptance or change. Try it today. We could all use a little more of that, right? All right. And our affirmation for today is from the Gabrielle Bernstein Super Attractor deck, which is this and that the CBT deck, sorry, the DBT deck will be linked in the description below after this video. But this deck, but you guys don't need to buy these because I'm sharing these all with you over the next several weeks. Now, I do believe that this one came up as I was pulling a card today. I do believe we've already done it, but it just seemed appropriate for today. And I hope you don't mind the repeat. It says, I heal the habit of fear and I embrace the habit of love. So this is our affirmation for today. I heal the habit of fear and I embrace the habit of love. I hope you can see that. So write that down. That is your affirmation for the day, y'all. And moving right along. Okay. Okay, what's for tea? Got that one. E-Rock. Okay, Nargis. Hey, Nargis. Welcome back. She says, I'm feeling blah. Finally, fearlessly told my aunt not to bother me anymore. Sending me a video yoga to increase your height. Okay. And calling me tortoise face. Why am I feeling awful? I did this. Okay, that's a really great question. So that's a guilt trip. She probably acted like the victim and gave you some narcissistic injury for saying, look, just stop. Just, you know, look, her, for those of you who don't know this, the story, Nargis's aunt calls her tortoise face and tells her she's too short. And in fact, she is not, she's beautiful and I'm short and we're all good with being short. It's fine. but Nargis, you did the right thing and you feel awful because she wants you to feel that way. So take a step back emotionally and forgive yourself and move forward. Now I was going to talk about letting go of guilt, but I just recently did that. And so I'll share that with you, later when you're ready, or I'll do another discussion about that if you guys want me to. Tara says, you are doing a wonderful job. And I have an older relative that has 800 acres near Santa Barbara. Oh, that's awesome. Where are you at, Tara? Let me see what else you got to say about that. Oh, Linda, thank you so much, Linda Stevens. I appreciate you. Thank you for the super chat. Why is it not showing me the super chats until, okay, I'm sorry, guys. All right, wait a minute. Where was I? Tara, tell me more things about that. Bonnie says going no contact was the best thing I ever did. She said, I never thought that I could go no contact with family of origin. I know, girl. I know. Bonnie has been through it and she has, yeah. Most definitely been through it. Most definitely didn't think she could do it. And she did it. I'm so proud of you still to this moment. So proud of you. Yeah. Okay. Nargis says, even though she bullied me, I continued to be so nice to her, feeling so obligated toward her. I could not take it anymore. Her bragging, she is the best in the whole world, but bullying me, Nargis, I guess something, but I think I've talked before about how that feeling of obligation, it holds us to them on so many levels. And the same thing happened to me. And for me, that thing inside me that held me to my mother when she called CPS, it broke. The obligation, it just broke. It went away. And I suspect that maybe that's what happened to you as well. You just couldn't take it anymore. Something broke and you had to tell her. Well, I'm proud of you for telling her, because even though it was hard and it was uncomfortable, and even though she didn't react well, which did we really expect that she would? Probably not. You did it. You said it, and now you can stand behind it. If you need to feel a little bad about it, okay, but I wish you wouldn't, Nargis, because you don't deserve that. You have been through the ringer, and you deserve to feel safe, and you don't deserve to be ridiculed and belittled by someone who obviously must be jealous of you. I don't know why else she would call you those things. You know, who cares if you're everybody, not everybody's tall. Being short has many benefits. I mean, some, and your face is perfect and beautiful. There's nothing wrong with your face. I've seen your face in many photos and I know, and she's wrong. That's all. She's wrong. And she must be jealous of you for some reason because she's always trying to tear you down. That's all I can think of. But either way, you don't deserve that. You don't have to put up with that. It's not your responsibility and it's not her right, but you did the right thing for yourself. And it was your responsibility to stand up for yourself in that situation. And you did. I'm proud of you. You did the right thing. You did a good job. You're beautiful. And, you know, being short is not a bad thing. Wear some heels, girl. It's fine. You know? All right. E-Rock. I got that one already. Thank you, E-Rock. Bonnie says, society says you cannot go no contact with your own mother and sibling. That's true. They try to say that. I've done it. It's not like I'm not proud that I've done it per se. I mean, it's not like something I talk about all the time, except sometimes to you guys, because you guys feel me on that. But people don't need to know our business. We don't have to tell them our business if it's not their business. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, you will have people who will say, well, how's your mom? And you know what you say, Bonnie? You just go, she's probably, you know, I'm sure she's fine, or she's great, whatever. You don't have to go into detail. Nobody needs to know your business unless you choose to share it with them or they are somebody who is directly connected. And even then, technically, they don't need to know your business unless you want to share it. Remember that. It's your business. You can be really vague about it. You can say, well, you know, we're going through a thing. Or you can just be like, I'm sure she's fine. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. Talk about something else. You don't have to tell them. And don't let them guilt you. A lot of people will guilt you with religious stuff, or they'll get guilt you with whatever else, and just not worth it. It doesn't change anything. Whatever somebody else says doesn't change your mother and sibling. You know what I mean? So you know the truth. Stick with that and stay focused on that. And don't explain yourself to people who don't need to know. It's not their business. Remember that. Okay. Hugs to Nargis from E-Rock. I love how supportive you guys are to each other. It really means a lot to me to see this in the chat. What's for Tea says, oh, for the future, Seligman and Meyer, the dog shock experiment. Why the dogs did not leave even when they could. Yeah, that's very similar to, I'm guessing, to Stockholm Syndrome. I have heard of that, and I don't know if I've done any videos on it, but I could certainly look into it for sure. Because there's something to that. E-Rock says, I'm tired of hearing about no contact when I cannot go no contact right now. And I feel so freaking stuck. I would be homeless. I don't know what to do. Okay. Take a deep breath. You're going to go low contact. It's fine. You can do this. You can do this. Don't owe that lady a thing. Stick with me here. You're going through some stuff. You're going through getting sober, staying sober. You're going through your whole life changing. Probably some of your friends aren't safe for you anymore, so on and so forth. This is just a blip. This person, stop giving them that much power, E-Rock. Listen to me. She's not powerful. She just lives in the apartment in the same building as you. She doesn't have a key to your house. She can give you the looks when you walk by, but you don't have to tolerate it. Let her look. Wave at her if you want to. Don't let her get under your skin. She is not powerful. You are powerful. She does not have power in your life. Don't give her the power that she doesn't already have. Do you understand what I'm saying? Own yourself. Don't let her have that much influence over you. Do you understand what I mean? You decide that now. You decide she is nothing. She has no influence over me. Decide that to yourself. Start acting as if, right? So when you see her, don't let her get into your head. You don't have to look her in the eyes. And let me tell you a little secret. If she tries to get you to look at her, look right here, or right here, or right there. You can read people better through their mouths anyway, at least I can. But you don't have to look her in the eyes. Somehow, narcissists, when they catch our eye, I'm not saying she's a narcissist, I don't know her, but she might be a toxic person, it sounds like she is. Then sometimes when they don't, when they are able to catch our eyes, somehow, it's not like they have a power over us, but somehow they kind of get in our head a little better. Just don't let her do that. Don't let her. She might be looking at your eyes, but you don't have to look at hers. You understand what I'm saying? You can look here, here, or here. Try it. Don't let her have that power. Okay. Linda Stevens, thank you so much for the super chat. I really appreciate you. And she says, keep it up, with an awesome emoji. I appreciate you. Let's see here. E-Rock says, this is not my mother. This is a downstairs neighbor. Right. That's what I'm talking about, honey. That's what I'm talking about. I was so naive when I first moved in. Sweet looking, quirky old lady who needs help. She's like my mother. Well, you didn't see it because you were maybe running away from your mother, and she maybe looked and acted a little bit different. But this is exactly what I talk about when I talk about with my ex-husband being so different than my parents. I really thought he was better because he was different, but he was just different on the surface. You know what I mean? He was really the same underneath, or at least on some level. So don't, see, I think you're being triggered by her because she reminds you on some level of your mother, her behavior does or whatever. So remember, she's not your mother. She has no control over you. She has no control of your life. She doesn't pay your bills. She doesn't do anything for you except annoy you when you walk into the building. So just try to see her as, you know, the crazy, lady or the quirky weird one that you don't need to engage with. You know, maybe find yourself amused at her behavior. I had a quirky little old lady who lived downstairs from us at one point, when one of my first apartments, and it was, she was right at the bottom of the stairs where I had to walk past her every time. And, you know, I just got to the point where I separated myself. I did the same thing, E-Rock. I helped her. I took her to the grocery store a few times. I helped her do a few things, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized that she really wasn't totally all there. And I had to sort of step back emotionally from her. And then I just kept going. I would say hello if she popped her head out, and I wouldn't get emotionally involved with her. That might be something you can try there too. But yeah. Okay. Mo Cowboy says, people who will smile and pretend to be my friend in face-to-face meetings. I live in a small town, 600, and been out since I was 17. They know what they were doing. Yes. Yes. And Mo Cowboy, I can't remember which Motown you live in, but my friend lived in a Motown also, Missouri town. And it was one of those real tiny ones down there, down south. So he really, boy, they were terrible to him. They were terrible, but he finally had the courage and he did what he did. And good for you, since being out since you're 17. That's amazing. Okay. Erex says, yeah, I wish I could decide to switch fear off and pretend to be okay. The only time you'll actually hear that I'm okay is when I'm actually okay. Okay. Let me say this. I appreciate and respect that you're not faking it. I do. You don't have to be okay to hide your emotions from her. Do you understand? Don't give her the power. Keep yourself, you know, gray rock from her. See her as what she is. She's not someone who deserves or is allowed to influence your life on a daily basis. You tried to be kind to her. She proved to you that that was a bad idea. Now you know better. You're moving forward. You know better. You do better. That's how we do. E-Rock, I'm not minimizing your feelings. They are completely valid, and I would feel just as stressed out as you do. I just need you to hear me. I need you to know you're not alone, and you don't owe her anything, and don't let her have that power in your life. You take back that power for yourself. You decide that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope that helps a little bit. okay. Teravia says, why can't you go no contact with your own mother? I have for years, and my mother is the one that started it. We even became famous, or a way to deal with the people. She always did it to me. I did go no contact with mine. Did you go no contact with yours? It sounds like you did. Wait. I have for years. Okay. Yeah. I stay no contact with mine, Teravia. So if I misunderstood your question, please, let me know in the comments here. Bonnie says, E-Rock, yep, looks can be deceiving, so especially the so-called sweet little old ladies. Indeed, my friend. Yeah, they get a pass a lot of times. Moms, mothers get a pass because, oh, well, that's my mom. That's just how she is, you know, and that's why I think, to be honest with you, that's why I think statistics will tell us that there are slightly more male narcissists. But the truth is, I think because nobody tells on their mom. Nobody reports the mom, and because men are less likely to report it in general, you know, I think it's probably more like 50-50 or 60-40 even. let's see here. Misty. Hello, Misty. Welcome. Says, E-Rock, have you looked into Gray Rock? See, we're on the same page, my friend. I know he has. What's for Tea says, applying for a home rehab grant. I have the application and paperwork. I just can't motivate. Weird. Oh, yep, I've been there too. I've done that too. Maybe it's because of fear. Maybe it's because of something else. Maybe fear of rejection. But again, I would tell you, what's for tea? Take one small step. So maybe today you just fill out the front page, or you fill out, you know, one section, and then see how you feel after that. See if you want to continue. And then if you do, then do some more. And if not, start again tomorrow. Tell yourself 5 minutes, I'm going to fill out one section. It's better than not doing it at all. Let me know your thoughts. E-Rock says, yeah, she had me arrested 1 year ago yesterday. Oh my. I was not, now see, that's terrible. I was not allowed back into my building for 6 months. She made the restraining order like I was a domestic partner or stalker. That's crazy. He said, I saw the black in its eyes and it wouldn't give me eye contact. The lawyer at the time advised me to keep her paper trail, but for what though? Even the cop who arrested me told me that he knows. That is crazy. So it's much bigger than just, okay, I hear you. I hear you. That's not just a little old lady at the bottom of the stairs. That's somebody who's actually caused you to be incarcerated. That's a totally different thing. Yeah. E-Rex says what she is and that, wait, told me that he knows what she is, the cop, and that they may come, that they come for her every week. He had to protect himself by signaling for me not to talk until he took his recorder off. Cops have to wear it. Wow. So here I am taking a picture every time she gets in my face, and I have a label in my drive called creature, and I just don't know what to do. I'm so disgusted and I feel so stuck. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I called the cops on her several months prior because she was screaming in my face. Hold on 1 second. That I was a meth head, slur word I'm not going to say, and screaming my first and last name. Holy shimoles. And your apartment people won't do anything about this? This is direct harassment. I mean, I would, can you go after her that way? Can you file against her a restraining order? That's outrageous. I mean, that's even, I think, I don't know, with that, some legal people, Misty's in here. Misty's my legal person for Queen Bee. She's also our, she's a paralegal and a divorce coach. But Misty, can you tell us, is that libel or slander when she's doing that, screaming out his first and last name and lies like that? Let me know. And slurs. Hate speech is illegal. I know that for sure. Okay. Something's got to be done, E-Rock. That's not okay. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. E-Rock says, I remember I tried to plead with her to leave me alone before I fully knew what it was, that my sister and my aunt had just died. I'm pretty sure my mother has contact with him. I'm so sorry. That's so much bigger than I thought it was. I'm so sorry, E-Rock. Jedi Frogmaster says, greetings, Angie. Greetings, all. Hey, Jedi Frogmaster. Welcome back. Happy to see you. Mo Cowboy says, E-Rock, I'm so sorry that you're experiencing such horrific abuse. Have you made a list of possible, not easy, yet possible options? Note, I avoid this in my own life and then I can feel trapped. No, I get you, E-Rock. It does. They get to you. Of course they get you, especially when they're causing legal trouble in your life and kicking you out of your own home for 6 months. I am sorry that I did not mean to minimize your feelings. I didn't understand all of this. And now that I do, I'm really angry for you. And I feel like we should all get together and go protest that person. I feel like you have a legal case. I mean, okay. Where was I? Okay. Wait a minute. Bear with me 1 second. Oh, hey, LI22, Lee22, welcome, welcome. Okay, so I'm trying to find, Linda Steve is asking me if I'm okay. I'm okay. Did I not seem okay? I'm sorry if I didn't seem okay. I'm trying to find where I was in the chat because I don't want to miss anything here. E-Rock, yeah, okay. E-Rock says this. Misty says, my fear is starting over. 16 months ago, I started from the bottom, but with the support of my family and tribe, I'm actively looking for my house. I'm so proud of you, Misty. You have really come so far. And she's, Misty also did her own, there are actually videos on my channel about this with her in them. she did her own divorce because she had legal background. She understood how to do it. And she did it very successfully. And she is now helping other people who can't always afford a lawyer or don't want to work with a lawyer for whatever reason, or who are working with a lawyer but just need somebody to tell them stuff in plain English. She's doing a great job with that. Okay. Andrea says, yes, they do, E-Rock, but that's their whole goal, to get you to flip out. E-Rock says, oh, here it was. Possible options do not include anybody that I think would be able to help me or save me, especially not my parents. In fact, homelessness is probably on top. No, E-Rock. E-Rock, I'm really sorry that you're going through this. I want you to stand up for yourself. Maybe could the police officer, could you file a police report? I mean, hate speech is illegal. I'm pretty sure. Slurs like that she was screaming about you. Okay. Karen Foreman says, I'm a person who will feel the fear and do it anyway and trying to leave the narcissist, but I've had my health take a turn in the last year and I'm trying to dig out from that first. I do understand that. And I know that it's hard when your health is an issue for sure. Hey, Stacy, welcome, Stacy style. Bonnie says, Mo Cowboy, I like that idea. Make a list of incentives for making the change. Karen says, the health issue is horrific pain and immobilizing arthritis in the hips. Oh, honey, that's hard. I know that's hard. Yes. Angela says, I'm just feeling overwhelmed by everything. Like the smallest thing is too much for me. I get that. That's a thing that happens to us. Something you can do is, first of all, if you need to take the time to slow down and kind of baby yourself a little bit, do that if you can. If you can even take a couple of days and do that, let it happen and then decide to get up and go. When you're ready to get up and go, or even if you're not, tell yourself, okay, I don't have to do everything. I just have to do one small thing. So maybe if your house is a little bit messy, pick one table to clean off or one shelf or one spot on the floor or whatever it is and start there and tell yourself you can stop after 5 minutes and then you don't have to try again until tomorrow. You know what I mean? Baby yourself through it, walk yourself through it slowly. And if it, you know, this is a lot of us feel stagnated like this. We feel stuck like this. I would suggest, I've done many videos on this topic, feeling stuck or feeling like we can't do what we want to do. Check that out. It can help you. You and I says, E-Rock, that feeling of not being able to do anything about it is called learned helplessness. And it's created in you by toxic people so they can use and abuse you. But the feeling isn't fact, it's a ruse. Yep, for sure. Bo Cowboy says, Miss Bonnie, simple things, little things that together can add up and can make life grand. Yesterday, my reward was sitting on the mountain with my baby goats and cows. Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Oh, I bet. Oh my goodness. E-Rock says, you guys are awesome. Right on, E-Rock, back at you. Okay, let's see here. Andrea says, E-Rock, remember that in the end, you have the power. Yes. Karen says, also dealing with exhaustion and fibro pains, trying to find a job that will help me become independent and allow me to move out. Dealing with depression and trying to find RSS that will help as well. Okay. Well, I think that's a start. And I think look for online jobs. There are tons of them now. Make sure it's legit. Make sure it's not just, some fly-by-night agency. Do your research. Do your due diligence, but you can work online. They might not even know, your person might not even know that you're working if you're careful about it. So it's a way to kind of save up a few bucks in the meantime. Linda, I am okay. Thank you. Mo Cowboy says, yes, I am a livestock producer. The animal rights shaming is bizarre and everywhere. Suicide rates in farmers, ranchers, skyrocketing. Yeah. Linnea says, if someone is going to try to make me feel like I don't count, then I will enjoy life without them. Yes, girl. I make plans that will make my life better regardless of who wants to be in it. Yes. Yes, Linnea. That's it. You and I says to E-Rock, it's a manipulation technique and there are things you can do about it. Making changes inside of you. She's creating trauma bonds with you. Let's see here. Caden says to Mo Cowboy, so different from when we learned in Colorado. Okay, we're talking about animals. I'm gonna skip past that and let you guys have that conversation. E-Rock says, thank you to you and I. You were right. I just don't know what to do now. It's already been created and I hate it. I feel toxified. I understand that completely. Okay. All right. So Beautiful, what a cool name, says, thank you for the videos. You're welcome, my friend. They help me so much. Beautiful says, thank you. Shred Squad says, oddly, my narcissist got me the skydiving package when we first got together. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's very interesting. Mo Cowboy says, you are doing great, E-Rock. Freedom sitting with all of your, oh, E-Rock Freedom, sitting with all of your emotions and embracing them is a form of meditation and acceptance. That is the truth. Yes. Hello, Coco Loco. Hello, welcome. E-Rock says, thank you to myself and Mo Cowboy. Absolutely my pleasure, and I'm certain it's his pleasure as well. Bonnie says, Angie, day one I was devastated, but like you said, I could have probably expected it from her past behavior. She's 90 years old. She's still very lucid. I won't be calling any more, guaranteed. Honey, I understand. And I know, trust me, I know. But you, I have similar moments where I think maybe I should check. But just like you, I learned the hard way, and now you have too. And it's okay. It sucks, but it's okay. And you're not alone here. Don't forget. Okay. See, Diana says, just testing your boundaries. At first, the whole fear. Mine taught me snowboarding, swinging side to side, and I'm not facing the snowboard. Holy shimoles. Oh, Bonnie. Bonnie says, that will probably be the last time I will ever hear her voice in this lifetime again, but it is her choice. I will comply. I understand, and I know that it feels very final. Please don't beat yourself up about it. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Shred Squad says they like scenarios that create pleasurable and exhilarating sensations. That way you associate them with those feelings. It's all a show, manipulation. Oh, that's a very interesting fact. I actually can see that quite clearly. Yeah. Linda Stevens says, Angela, I feel you. Last year, my dog and I rode out 9 tornadoes. Holy shamoles, Linda. Not knowing where the next meal's coming from. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Linda, that is crazy. Yeah, see, I think we all go through that feeling stuck thing, like Angela was saying and what Linda's talking about, because it's so overwhelming sometimes to just, sometimes even just taking the next step feels like almost impossible. Or even though you're sitting there and you're going, I know I can do this, I know I can do this, you're still sitting there not doing it. I think that happens to a lot of us. I really do. I find that if we're finding ourselves, in fact, if you guys want to talk about this tomorrow, let me know. If you're finding yourself in a lot of clutter, and you know, a lot of the times clutter can actually be a symptom of the abuse or of the trauma. If you want to talk about that, let me know, say clutter in the comments right now. And I'll make sure to, we'll talk about that tomorrow. If not, you don't have to, no big deal. But if you want to, we can talk about that. E-Rock says, I'm trying. I've seen her mess with other people. I know it's not me. At this point, I am at this point on trauma bonded because of the history, seemingly inconsequential lady. And you have to keep thinking it from that perspective. You know what I mean? Keep seeing her as inconsequential. She doesn't matter. She's not important to you. She's not important in your life. Try that and just gray rock and keep going. I know it's so hard. I would seriously consider filing a report if she ever says anything like that again. Seriously. I think you're doing the right thing by documenting her behavior too. Mm-hmm. Diana says, I was told I had to stop wearing heels because I'm too tall. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, being tall is also amazing. And I'm seriously just a little bit jealous of tall people because you guys can wear all the things without having to hem them. And also you look better in them, if we're being honest. That's why all the tall people are supermodels, but whatever. I would want you to own your tallness and embrace it and be proud of it because that's awesome. You know, honestly, I'm sorry that happened to you. Caden says, I find my dad projects his discomfort with my gender expression onto me. Maybe that the aunt has a height insecurity and could be, that's powerful. Yeah. For Nargis, it may be that your aunt has a height insecurity and could be projecting it onto you. That's a completely valid point. Yeah. Nargis, thanks E-Rock for the hug. Gen X says E-Rock. I think he's 37. So let me think. I think 37 might be Gen X too. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I think that you might be right. Right on the tail end of Gen X, maybe. Gen X, Gen Y. What year were you born? Let me think. Well, anyway, we'll come back to that. I'm older than you. I'm 44. So Soprano, what a cool name, says, hey, Angie, I have a question. What do you say when a supervisor tries you for supply by being rude and dismissive? I let it go in the last job, and she kept making rude and underhand comments. All right. Here's a suggestion for you on this. Soprano, I would rude and underhanded comments. Okay. I would gray rock this person. If I don't need that job, if I could get another job quickly, I would definitely be looking for another job or even within the same company. But even then, you're going to be possibly under that supervisor in some other capacity. But in the meantime, while I'm working with that person, I would not give them my energy. I would be gray rock. I would kill them with kindness. I'd be like this all the time. Not too happy, not too mad, just okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Blah, 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 whatever. And I would not, when they say the underhanded comments, if you're feeling particularly bold, you could say, did you just say I have a big stupid nose? Because I think I must have misunderstood you, you know, or whatever the comment was. And that can kind of sometimes throw them off guard. But document the behavior. And if anything, you know, leans toward the side of illegal, don't be scared to report it to HR. But otherwise, I would gray rock and not give them any of your emotion. Don't let her see you sweat, so to speak. Let her see you. You know, again, don't look her in her eyes. Look right here, here, or here. And just, yep, okay, I understand. I'm sorry, did you just say that I have a big stupid nose? Or I'm sorry, did you just say that, you know, all people who look like me have a problem with that? You know what I mean? Like, say it out loud. Repeat back to her what she just said, if you're brave enough to do that. If not, just gray rock and document and tell HR if it continues. My suggestion. Let me know your thoughts on that. Linda says, who cares what society thinks? If I could get my twin to sign a contract of no con, if I could get my twin to sign a contract of no contact, I would, and break the family ties permanently. She won't sign the papers. Oh my goodness. I agree with you. Who cares what society thinks? Society does not understand the depths of the abuse in a situation like this. Because, you know, someone who doesn't understand that how deep it goes, you know, they can't possibly understand what you've been through. They can't, don't let society tell you anything about yourself. Society is wrong, like about 80% of the time about what it thinks and, you know, tells us about ourselves. So you decide who you are. You decide who's in your life. You decide what comes next, and don't allow anyone toxic in your life, whether they're blood related or not. Linda's right. Don't worry about what society thinks. Society is not always right. I think we all know that in a hard, painful way. Violet says, learned helplessness. Yes, ma'am. Lee 22. Hey, girl. Hey, thank you. I'm glad you're here. You and I says the dog experiment is learned helplessness. Oh, okay. I was thinking that it was the other thing. Trauma bonding. Because when you put somebody in, you know, like the situation with those girls, and I can't remember the guy's name, but those girls who were kidnapped, the three of them, separate girls, all kidnapped by this one man whose name slips my mind right now because I'm probably a little low on the blood sugar. But those girls, you know, there was a trauma bonding thing that happened, even though they found, oh, Amanda Berry was one of the girls. I just remembered. I just remember her saying, I'm Amanda Berry. I'm out. You know, anyway, that's a sad situation, but those girls developed a certain amount of trauma bonding, even with that person who was very horrible to them, Stockholm syndrome and so on and so forth. So, yep. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but there it is. I will look into that dog experiment. Thank you. In fact, I don't even know if I've ever covered learned helplessness on this channel. That might be something I need to do. Okay, I got you. I need to write that down before I forget. I hope you guys don't mind. I'm just going to note myself. I'm going to make a note for myself, learned helplessness, because I want to cover the things that you guys want to know about. So, because who else am I talking to? You know what I mean? So if you have other topics that you want me to talk about, hit them in these comments here. And if I don't see them while I'm live, I will. I always go back and read all the comments, and I try to make notes for myself when I can. Janelle Espinoza in the house. Hey, Janelle, welcome. Welcome. She says, I'm trying to remain friendly for an amicable divorce. After 33 years, this may not work. Well, friendly has different levels of possibility. Janelle, this might help you. If you've ever worked in customer service of any sort, treat your soon-to-be ex like a customer who's a little disgruntled. And imagine how you would treat that person. And I would treat him like that until the divorce is final, him or her. And when the divorce is final, then, you know, move on. Don't talk anymore. No contact. Done with it. Thoughts? Let me know. Mo Cowboy says, sorry, Diana, I wear heels. They are cowboy boots. I can visualize you wearing spike heels and standing above the masses, your beauty filling the universe. I love that. I love that. E-Rock says, my mother outed me, enraged, and had clergy people call me, forced me into conversion therapy with a therapist who I was forced to see for years, who I started to trust. This is over two decades ago. And on the lighter note, I used to wear my sister's heels. I like that. But, you know, I'll tell you something, E-Rock. I really believe that conversion therapy, and I'm sorry if I upset anyone by saying what I'm about to say, I think it's abuse. Just the idea that they would try to change people to become something they are not. I don't believe that homosexuality is something that happens by, I think it's something that happens when you're born. You are born that way or not. That's what I think. I know people will tell me there's some psychological, I've heard people say there's psychological stuff behind it. There's abuse behind it. There's all this other stuff, but I'm here to tell you what I mentioned about the little girl that I know who came out at that early age. I know for sure there's none of that in her life. And there she is being herself. I really believe it's birth related. I believe it's, I don't know where it comes from, but I think it's just like anybody else. Like, somebody said to me, how could she possibly know at 10 years old, which is when she did come out? And I said, well, I don't know. I knew I liked boys at 10. Like, why wouldn't she know? You know what I mean? Okay. We're off topic again. I'm sorry about that. Lee22 says, I wish to feel as if people aren't looking for me to be schizophrenic and such after being with several narcissists and their smears and then wanting me to be the one making something out of nothing. Those people might be your the narcissist flying monkeys, honey, because, you know, I've never once heard of narcissistic abuse making anyone schizophrenic. Okay. I think that's beyond. I think there are situations where people have been, you know, people have DID, dissociative identity disorder, when sometimes it gets really bad. And those are almost always a direct result of abuse. But we're talking usually in those cases, we're talking physical abuse, sexual abuse, et cetera, et cetera. So, I would feel really irritated if people were looking at for that from me as well, Lee. I totally feel you on that. Let's see here. Okay, you guys. Hey, Bambina, I'm sorry that I lost you. I didn't mean to. Okay. I have to wrap up, but I will be here tomorrow twice. Once with, hey Penny. Penny, you would do the low contact thing too. Penny says that she's been unable to go no contact because she has to speak to them regarding the children. In that case, you go low contact. You only talk about the children, the business of raising the children. You don't share emotions. You don't give emotions. You act like they are somebody you're doing business with because that is what you're doing. The business of raising that child is the only connection you have. When the child is an adult, then the child can do the communicating for you if necessary. But until then, you do what you got to do. You keep it all business all the time. Don't share your emotions. Make, if possible, have them communicate as often as possible in writing, by text, or by one of those apps that the courts approved. And I can't remember the name of the video, but I did a video about those apps as well in the past. So, yeah. Okay. Barbara, I'm glad that Violet caught you up. Let's see. Hartville. Yep. Okay. All right, guys, I have to rush out of here. Like I said, I will be here tomorrow twice. I'll be here in the morning as usual, and I'll be here again with Dana, and I will be live both times. So I'm thinking I'm going to do this show live every day from now on, because it actually, even though I sit here for an hour as opposed to the 7-minute thing, or the 12-minute thing, I usually do the content at the beginning, and then I talk to you guys afterwards. So it just actually takes me less time than having to record a video and edit a video. And it seems more productive for you. So if you guys are good with this, I'll do this. If you're not good with this, if you'd like me to still pop up some shorter videos, I will do that. So let me know that in the comments here too, as well. All right. I'm stepping out of here. I will see you guys very soon. Have a wonderful day. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. Please don't forget that you're alone. You are not alone. E-Rock, Mo Cowboy, Violet, everybody, Angela, Linda, Bambina, Penny, all of you, Lee, Janelle, Caden, Barbara, Nargis, all of you guys, you're not alone. Please don't think you're alone. Okay. And thank you for letting me be a part of your life as well. I'll see you soon.